And one thing that the Silicon Valley is very famous for is kind of the slogan, you know, move fast and break things. And that has like kind of built their like the approach of Silicon Valley, like being very bold, being moving fast, don't really caring about testing it, but out there, do it and deploy it as soon as possible. And I think, I mean, that is successful in some ways, but it also has shown to be very, very harmful.
Welcome to the Swedish Innovation Podcast, where we export Swedish unicorness.
No buzzwords, just real life stories with Sweden's most innovative thinkers and doers. A podcast made by me, Sandra Bourbon.
And me, Sara Hermansson.
Today we have Annie Lindmark from Vinnova with us. And yes, you remember correctly, she's been on our podcast before. Today we will actually talk more about Silicon Valley and Nordic Innovation House. And she will tell us about a very interesting incubator program that right now is open to apply for all Nordic startups. So stay tuned and we invite Annie.
Hi Annie and welcome back to Swedish Innovation Podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, Sarah. It's great to be back. I'm doing fine. It is really start of the year, many exciting things planning. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, you will now have the honor to be our first, what to call it, comeback guest.
That's amazing. I feel honored to be that.
Yes. And it feels good to have you as that one too. And we need to do a quick catch up since last time you were here about a year ago. What have happened this year? I mean, 2022 in terms of the innovation landscape in Sweden. Can you give us an update?
Yes, sure. I mean, 2022 was, as we all know by now, a shaky and tough year. The geopolitical situation, the economic situation, and the thought of potential global recession has, I mean, really had an impact on most parts of our society. And talking about innovation and looking at, for example, the investment landscape, 2021 was a record year, not only for Sweden, but if we look at Sweden, it was really a record year for Swedish startups. It was around 7.8 billion euros that was invested in Swedish tech companies, which was twice as much as in the previous year. I don't have the number for 2022, but it's definitely a big drop from that. And I mean, if you look, for instance, at the final quarter of 2022 investments in North America startups, it fell 63% compared to the same period last year. So this, of course, had an impact on innovation tech landscape in Sweden and globally. But I would say that, however, looking at innovation and innovation rankings, for example, Sweden is still top of the list when it comes to innovation. And during 2022, Sweden was ranked the world's third most innovative country and the most innovative country in the EU. Mm-hmm. And this was shown by, for example, I mean, UN's annual Global Innovation Index that look at, I think it's about 80 indicators.
That's good. And why are we in the top? What stands out for Sweden?
Yeah, I mean, Sweden has some different aspects that comes through in these 80 indicators that they look at. For example, we have, I mean, the combination of several world's leading global industrial companies that invest heavily in R&D. We also have a booming digital sector with both large companies, I mean, Spotify, Klarna, iSettle, and also very fast growing startup sector. And our industry leaders have a long history of collaborating and interacting with the public sphere. And I would also say a very active industrial policy. And on top of that, Sweden also stands out as a knowledge intensive country. So I think there's a combination of these that makes us kind of stand out in these types of scoreboards. But talking about the scoreboards, I also think it's important not to forget that scoreboards of these types and rankings is one way of seeing and measuring a country's innovation capacity. And it does not paint, I mean, the whole picture and not telling the whole story. It gives indicators, it really does, in selected areas. But having that said, I lack measurements on diversity and inclusion, both in terms of representation and level of innovation in these types of rankings. Because, I mean, how well innovation processes include people with different backgrounds, skills, integrate sex and gender dimensions really will determine the outcome of tomorrow's innovative solutions. So this is just an add on the innovation rankings.
And isn't it also so that usually diversity and innovation goes hand in hand in many of studies shown, right?
It really does. And I mean, we do see research that clearly points out that when you have diverse teams, when you have a split of power or leadership of women and men in project teams or in founding teams, they do perform much better, both when it comes to economic performance, but also when it comes to sustainability and creating a long-lasting good company.
Yeah. Well, at least it's fun that we're still in the top.
It is, yeah.
I guess we should continue fight for that spot.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, we invited you here today to talk a bit more about Swedish innovations going overseas to US. And yes. I know you also went overseas to explore innovation in US the past year, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I've been based and currently still based out of Silicon Valley and the Nordic Innovation House and contribute to Vinnova's work over there. So Vinnova, we have had a presence in the Valley since I think around 2014. And we are both connected to Nordic Innovation House and Stanford University. And one of my main tasks this autumn and spring will be and has been to really, I mean, look at how we can better connect the Swedish and the Californian startup and innovation ecosystem and close the gap and put them more closer together.
And how do US entrepreneurs and investors, or to phrase it better, like how does the typical Silicon Valley crowd find Swedish innovators and entrepreneurs? Like what do we have in common and what is different? Like what's their view on us?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, Sweden is a small country and it would be a lie to say that everyone knows, you know, what Sweden is and what we do. But I mean, despite being a small country, we have a strong and good representation in the Valley, I would say, especially when it comes to startups, innovation capacity and so on. And I think Sweden is seen as a very innovative country that puts sustainability high up on the agenda. And also that we have really like a good track record of showcasing great Swedish impact startups the last years. So I think we have a strong reputation of that. And I mean, the other question, I think I haven't been there so long that I would say that I know this for sure. But my instinct says that kind of the common thing that we have is that, I mean, a misunderstanding, perhaps I should start saying, is I think that we think that the US or the Silicon Valley crowd would see Swedish companies more kind of holding back, not being bold enough or as visionary as the Silicon Valley companies are. And perhaps that was true like a decade ago. But the companies I meet today, I really think is thinking big, and they are super visionary, and they come with new challenging ideas that get kind of traction over there. So I would say that's a common thing we have. On the different side, I would say as a Swedish company or a startup, you must really think, I mean, internationally and have a global approach very early on to succeed. It's kind of the first thing you need to do if you want to have like be a scale up and grow. You need to have that in mind, because the Swedish and even the Nordic markets is fairly small. While like being born in Silicon Valley or having California as your main kind of entrance to starting a company, California itself is, I think, the third, fourth largest economy. So being established and founder of there gives you kind of another approach to that, I guess. I would also, if I could, Sarah, also mention maybe one more thing about difference. I've been thinking a lot about kind of how the ecosystem around innovation and startups are built here and over there. And one thing that the Silicon Valley is very famous for is kind of the slogan, you know, move fast and break things. And that has like kind of built their like the approach of Silicon Valley, like being very bold, being moving fast, don't really caring about testing it, but out there, do it and deploy it as soon as possible. And I think, I mean, that is successful in some ways, but it also has shown to be very, very harmful. I mean, moving fast and breaking things, then you need to ask yourself, what things are we breaking while moving this fast? And we have seen now in retrospective, looking at tech and innovation and also the tech companies coming out of Silicon Valley, that some of those things that came out really did break things that hurt systems, people, and that was not good. Like, you cannot like continue like breaking things in that sense. Like, you need to have a more like sustainable, eco, system lasting thought when you build things. You cannot just say that, oh, just go out with it, but I mean, and not thinking of the consequences of what that can actually mean, and putting out discriminating, racist, sometimes products and services. So I think that's I would say that's different also, that we kind of have come a long way in talking about that we really need to build an inclusive, sustainable, long-lasting ecosystem around innovation and tech. And perhaps we're a little bit third in that conversation. While move fast and break things is still kind of the ways of doing stuff, even if it start to kind of be a little bit different.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good analysis. But then it sounds like we're not so bad in Sweden after all. I mean, we are fast forward, but maybe we're also a bit cautious and a bit more collaborative and, you know, ecosystem thinking from
definitely
the start.
Yeah. Yeah. We do really have something to offer Silicon Valley. It's we talk about that a lot at Nordic Innovation House. That, I mean, a big reason why we're there is, of course, to connect ourselves to one of the largest, the most innovative hubs in the world, and to get inspired, be inspired by that, learn by that, and understand like how is that ecosystem working. But it's also an important part of it is also to kind of bring something from the Nordics to Silicon Valley. We really do have something to offer. We really do have something to show. So I think that's an important aspect. So we're not only there to learn and be inspired, we're also there to kind of showcase and talk about and bring something to the table.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the subjects for today, right? Because you had something called Tink. Was it
yes
correct? Yeah. Tell us more about that. What is it?
Yeah, so Tink, I mean, probably I would say something first about Nordic Innovation House, since that's, I don't know if that's a known concept in Sweden, but Nordic Innovation House, really short, is a unique collaboration between the Nordic countries. It was founded, the first one was in Silicon, is the one in Silicon Valley. It was founded in 2014, and now we have around 5 houses around the world, and it is supported by Nordic Innovation and the public sectors in these Nordic countries. And basically Nordic Innovation gives companies, corporations, startups a head start in the most relevant innovation hubs. And we do that by offering programs, the space to sit, the work, but also the connections. And coming into programs, Tink is one of them that we have at the Silicon Valley House. It's one of two offers that we have for early stage and startup companies. And Tink stands for Tech Incubator, and it's basically an accelerator program that gives you the opportunity to build network, develop your startup in a rapid pace in Silicon Valley. The program has been, I mean, running now for over 10 years. I've had 22 programs, and over 200 companies have participated. And it is an intense 5-week accelerator program. During these 5 weeks, you get to validate your product, service, market, business model fit, and global scale potential. And you get to do this by having support by some of the best mentors that you can think of that are connected to Silicon Valley area, and that's who have been kind of active in the area for many, many years. Tink is
sounds,
also...
It sounds kind of like a boot camp for your startup, yeah? 5 intense weeks of everything you need.
Really, it is a boot camp in that sense. And since the pandemic, it's a hybrid program, so it's 4 weeks in a virtual program and 1 week based physically in Silicon Valley, where you, in the end of the program, so where you actually get to meet the mentors that you had during the program period and also the other companies and so on.
Mm-hmm. And who could apply to this? Like, what stage should you be with your company? Are there any like prerequisites on how large you should be or how long you've been doing things?
Yeah, it's there is no specific key numbers that you need to show, but we usually say that, I mean, you should not be a just recently newly started company. You should be a rather established startup company. You should have a product launched. You should have starting to see customer growth. You should have a scalable business model with that you have tested at least for a while. And of course, a clear international ambition. So that's kind of the key things that we look for in the think companies that apply. But other than that, there's like no specific key numbers that you need to show. So it's pretty broad, and you can also see every program. It is a mix out of every different branch or industry that the companies represent. So it's a very broad group of companies that meet, but all of them have this in common, and that is that they are in that stage where they are about to kind of maybe take the next step, being more of a scale-up company, being more having testing their product, and being now in the stage of where they're taking the next step.
And how do you apply? Like, do you need to be part of Winnova for somehow, or is it open, or how do you actually do?
Yeah, so the program is open for everyone to apply to, and you apply basically through Nordic Innovation House website, but you can also find information and application link through Winnova's website. And you fill in a form describing your company, giving some details about your journey and where you are. And then all applications go through a selection process and interviews with our Tink Silicon Valley team and also some of the local Silicon Valley mentors that will actually mentor the company. So it is application process that you go through. The deadline for the spring, because Tink has is opening twice per year. It's one in the spring and one in the autumn. And the deadline for the spring is now 20 February. Okay. And also I could say something, I mean, if you get accepted and you're a Swedish company, Winnova give out grants to cover part of the program fee. So it is very beneficial. If you're interested in this program, you should really look it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And since it's been for a long time and many programs previously, do you have any like previous success story to share of a company that we might know of that was in this program back in the days?
Yeah, on the website you can see all the Swedish companies who have participated, I think. Just the top of my mind, we have had companies participating like Koala Life, like more like a life science company working with digital heart monitors. We had also 1928 Diagnostics, cloud-based technology for fighting antibiotic resistance. We had also Winning Temp, a more HR employee engagement platform. So, I mean, there's a lot of names on the list, I think, that people will recognize looking throughout who participated during the years. And if I would say something that, I mean, the companies continue saying when you ask them about kind of how was Tink, how was the experience, one of the things that they often lift up is how unique it was to meet these world-class mentors that are based in Silicon Valley. They have some ties often to the Nordics, but they are coming from venture capital, marketing, sales experts, and thought leaders. And that, I think, have helped a lot of these companies to really take their step and also becoming more international. So I would say that there's probably a lot of highlights when you look through the different companies who participated.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like there is not so much to lose.
No, it's not.
And regarding that, is it difficult to get a spot? Like, do you have a lot of applicants and few seats, or how does it usually look like?
It's usually that it's a Nordic mix, of course, and it's around maximum 15 to 20 companies in total from the Nordics. So there's not that many spots. From Sweden, we often can, I mean, fund and send around 5 to 8 companies each each program period. So not that many spots, but still, I think that there's a lot to learn about Tink in the Swedish ecosystem, and it's not, we haven't really find our way out there and spreading the knowledge to everyone who needs to know about the program. So we need to continue now, like to spread the knowledge to everyone who's would be benefited of participating in the program will know about this amazing opportunity.
Sounds good. And of course, I mean, anyone who listened to this episode right now will find the links in the episode description where to apply, and we will put the information here so it's easy to find. And I guess also if you wouldn't get a spot this spring, this is a biannual program, so you could just apply for autumn or next spring or so on, right? And final Definitely. Question, is there a specific, not company, but like a tech area or like innovation area where you would like to see one of the companies that will join this program coming from? What type would you really like to see more of?
Great question. I mean, first of all, I would like to see more female founders. I think there's a lot of companies that that are female founded that haven't found this program. I don't know if it's about knowledge spreading or why we haven't reached more female founders, but we really need to do that. So if you're a female founder listening to this, I think you really should check out Tink. I would also say a lot of the companies are already impact companies in many ways. But if you're an impact company working with any of the sustainability goals and everything from energy to climate, I think that's really needed in also the California and Silicon Valley area. And of course, Femtech. I would love to see a Femtech company joining. I think we have a lot to offer from the Nordics when it comes to the Femtech area and being in the forefront there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, I'm looking forward to see what companies that actually will go into this program. And it will be fun to interview one of those companies once they've done the program and hear how it was.
Definitely. And so grateful for having the opportunity to speak a little bit more about Tink and getting out the word about this accelerated program.
Well, it was great talking to you again, Annie. And let's see when you have your third episode and the next comeback, right?
Yay. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, take care for now. And thanks for being on the podcast again.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you like what we're doing, remember to subscribe. And if you really like our podcast, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. Remember, innovation is what makes the impossible possible, and it will all start with you.